Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Today is a very special day, and you want to know why? Because we get to take a pause. We get to take a break and honor the mothers and the mother figures. You know, you may not have known your biological mom. You know, maybe she didn't raise you. But the truth is, every single person in this room has a mother. We have a mother. And she's the woman that God chose to bring you into this world. So for that, we're going to honor her. If for nothing else, we're going to honor your mother, the mothers. And if you are a mom, we honor you too. You know, it's not lost on me that today can be a little sad, can be a little heavy for some of us. I get that. You know, there are some mothers here who have known the pain of losing a child. I want to recognize that. And I know it's difficult. And I want you to know that God sees you and he's been with you the whole time. I know there are other women here who have longed to have a child and they still remain childless. I understand. I know that's hard. Some of us have lost our mothers. Some of us understand the pain of not being able to pick up the phone and say, hey, mom, you know, this, this, and this. I understand that. And some of us have been estranged from mom. Maybe you're estranged from your mother. So today is bittersweet. But we're still going to honor and give honor where honor is due. And moms deserve to be honored. And you know what? We also honor the women who they may not be the biological mom, but they're still a mother. They still chose to be a mother. And we honor spiritual moms. I have a precious woman in my life who is my spiritual mother. And we honor those spiritual moms. They prayed for us. They sowed wisdom into us. And they've led us to be who God created us to be. So we honor them. And we honor the stepmothers. These are the women who stepped up and chose to love, maybe nurture and care for someone else's child. A child who wasn't their own. Sometimes it was easy. Sometimes not so much. We honor the stepmothers. So for all the mothers of Pursuit Church, I pray that you know you are loved, that God is with you, he sees you, and he's got your back. No matter how difficult it may seem, just remember, God has your back, and he chose you for that position for such a time as this. So we honor you, and I say to you, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the moms, the mother figures, the aunties, all the women here who have nurtured and cared for someone else. Lord, I just thank you for the day. I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that it goes forth through me, that you push me out of the way, and you have your way. Your will be done. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the breath in my lungs. I surrender it to you, Father. Speak through me. Have your way. And I pray that your word changes us from the inside out. In the mighty name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, yeah, we can give the Lord a hand clap. That's totally fine. Today, I want to talk about something that is absolutely required for motherhood. Actually, it's something we all need to develop in our lives. That's if we're ever going to be able to honor God and honor others. And it's called perseverance. That's not a word you hear too much these days. I understand that. And it's probably because we live in a runaway, throwaway culture. Am I wrong? I mean, come on. If something's hard, just quit. Go somewhere else. Find somebody else. And even though perseverance isn't talked about much these days, it really should be. Because persevering is one of the biggest challenges in life. When you think about it, it really is. Yet it's vital to living a life that honors God in everything. In your job, in your relationships, and in your walk with Jesus. You know, several years ago, I saw this movie. And it highlighted mainly relationships between women across generations. And one of the storylines in the movie involved this young mom. Actually, it talked about her as a young mother all the way up through being a grandmother. And at one point when she was a young mom, she got so overwhelmed by the pressures of being a mother and a wife that she literally just ran away. Like, she took off for a few days and hid. Nobody knew where she was. And part of the reason that she struggled so much is because she still had issues from her past that she'd never dealt with. And when all of that came together, it was just too much for her. So she ran away and hid out. Now, this is typical of how people handle typically hard things. Run away, hide. Some people literally change their geography. If they don't get what they want where they are, they just go somewhere else. Others hide in their work. Maybe some addiction, food, booze, drugs, shopping, whatever you have to do to help avoid dealing with the hard things in life. But the problem with that strategy is that no matter where you go, your baggage goes with you. And when I'm talking about baggage, I'm talking about things like strongholds. Y'all know what a stronghold is? Let me tell you. It's wrong thinking that we've believed so long that we don't even recognize the truth anymore. So we become convinced that how we see things is actually right when it's not. Psychologists call this the illusory truth bias, or sometimes it's referred to as confirmation bias. It's a real thing. But in the spiritual realm, we know it's a stronghold. Another form of spiritual baggage is generational curses. Those are the habits and patterns. There are habits and patterns of behavior that don't necessarily line up with God's word, and they get passed down through generations. They're in your bloodline. Maybe some of y'all didn't know that was possible, but it is. Go back to the Old Testament. It is. And if you keep struggling with the same thing, if you take a look back in your family, there may be a pattern there. Well, guess what? That's a generational curse. And they're not always obvious. And there's not blatant destruction in their path. Things like, you know, alcoholism or divorce are not always obvious. One of the biggest generational curses I've seen running deep in families is actually pride. Grandma was proud. Yes, she was. Mama was a proud woman. She stood on business and nobody was going to tell her anything else. And now guess what? Daughter or son, same way. They got pride. They're prideful. Hold on to grudges. Consider disagreements an attack. And a lot of times they're easily offended. Sometimes the stronghold or generational curse is so deep that they'll even get offended over things that don't even really have anything to do with them personally. Y'all, anytime we get involved in battles that aren't ours to fight, be careful. Be careful with that. If you're trying to set the record straight for somebody else, you just put yourself in the position of authority in that situation. And you know what? It's God's role to set up authority, not ours. I'm going to stay here a minute because this is important. I know this is, why is she so negative? It's Mother's Day. No, because we need to know. We need to know. 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible warns us, don't be ignorant of what the devil's up to. That's what it says. Because he will take advantage of that. Of our ignorance, he don't care. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Well, that's the way the devil sees things too. I know people think that sometimes they're doing God's business by getting involved in things. But if God didn't call you to get involved in that, that's none of your business. Y'all can just look, amen. That's all right. That's all right. I'm back. And you know, some people try to use scripture and justify what they're doing because they're not wise to the devil's schemes. They don't see that what's happening is really a distraction. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that we have to be aware of the enemy's schemes. So that means in order to be aware of it, we got to stay connected to Jesus. And we need to be willing to ask Jesus to expose our weaknesses, to show you where there might be a stronghold or a generational curse affecting how you deal with the pressures of life. And this is where perseverance factors in. If you want to live the life that God planned for you, it's not just going to fall in your lap. That's not the way he works. No, you have a role to play. And part of that involves perseverance, y'all. So what does it mean to persevere? Well, before I give you the dictionary version of it, I want you to understand something. God is always with you. And he's never going to ask you to do something that he isn't going to walk with you through, guide you in and give you the strength to do it. Now put that in the back of your mind, and this is what Webster says perseverance is. It's the continued voluntary effort to achieve a goal despite difficulties, failures, or delays. Now the key word is voluntary. You make a decision to persevere. Now understand, perseverance is not just proven in success or achievements. It's not just about that. It's tested daily in the places closest to your heart. My first point is perseverance is forged and refined in relationships. You know, when God created the world, when he created man, almost immediately he knew Adam needs a partner. He needs somebody to help him. So he created women. He created woman, right? So clearly from the very beginning of time, God created us for relationships, first with him and then with others. And if you don't understand that, then when things start to get uncomfortable or difficult, you may walk away from the very people and situations that God has allowed in your life for his purpose. I've seen that happen. I've literally seen that happen. People walk away when it's hard, and it almost always leaves a trail of destruction in the wake. And you want to know why? Because nobody's an island. Nobody's an island. Our relationships are connected one way or the other. How many times have you run into somebody and it comes out they're related to somebody in your family or Ray Ray and them? You know, everybody's connected. Think about it. You go to the grocery store and you see this person. And, hey, how you doing? Oh, here's another person walking by. They know them. Well, guess what? We're connected. You may not think that, but this is especially true in the church. You know, several years ago, Pastor Bob and I and the kids were part of a small, growing, newer church, right? And there was this large extended family that was part of the church. They're cousins, grandparents, kids, grandkids, everybody. And they were very connected in that body, right? Well, as the church grew, one of the family members got offended by some changes in leadership in that church. And instead of giving that to the Lord and working through the offense, this couple just left. But it didn't stop there. One by one, others in that family began leaving the church. Y'all, offense is like a cancer. I'm going to say that again. Offense is like a cancer. If it isn't dealt with swiftly and thoroughly, it'll literally suck the life out of you. And this is why Jesus tells us we have to show people grace. In other words, believe the best in people and forgive. This one offended person's decision didn't just affect them and their family. It hurt others in that church. People I'm sure they never meant to hurt, but they did. You see, one of our granddaughters was friends with some of their kids. So when they just stopped coming to church, she never saw her little friends again. And they were like little road dogs. They were thick as thieves. And she would ask for them, hey, where's so-and-so? And then I would see her get so sad. She was just 2 years old, y'all. She would get so sad because she didn't understand why they never came back. A child's broken heart because one grown-up didn't work through their offense in a healthy way. And this is exactly why the Bible warns us about offense. It says that an offended person is unyielding, like a fortified city. In other words, they got their mind made up, right or wrong, and you're not going to tell them nothing. And don't you know, that's exactly what the devil wants. He loves this throwaway cancel culture. It was his idea. This cancel culture, runaway, hide, throwaway, that is the devil's idea. Satan loves it when we get offended and walk away from people instead of working it out. Why? Because he knows we were created for relationships. They're connected to our God-given purpose, y'all. And this is why we must understand that perseverance is forged and refined in relationships. Because if we can just settle that in our hearts, then we won't let offense lead us astray. Instead, we'll start doing what the Bible says and forgive and pray for those offend us. And we'll take it next level and ask God to help us look inward at our own hearts to see what's going on in there. You see, this is important, y'all, because offense has a trigger. And this is why we have to get connected to Jesus and let him set us free of that baggage, spiritual strongholds, generational curses, because those kind of things skew the way we see things. And the truth is, we all have a blind spot. And the place where you think you don't, that's usually where it is. We have to get past thinking we're right and be willing to consider we might be wrong. I've lived my life, God teaching me that one. You might be wrong. You think you're right. And this is why we all need spiritual authority in our lives that we are willing to listen to and submit to. Somebody, when I say spiritual authority, I'm talking about somebody who's walked closely with Jesus a little bit longer than we have. You know, Jesus left us the church. It's the place where we find community and our purpose, but it's also the place where God has ordained spiritual authority. Hebrews 13:17 says to trust in your leaders, put yourselves under their authority. Do this because they keep watch over you and they know they are accountable to God for everything they do. That scripture right there, that keeps me and Pastor Bob at the feet of Jesus. I'm accountable to God for what I do and say. And that is something I do not take lightly, y'all. So as your pastors, it is our God-ordained responsibility to guide you, lead you, and then correct, when necessary, this body. Not over there. This body of believers. So this is why getting connected to a Bible teaching, Bible-believing church is vital for your spiritual growth. And it's key to keeping offense out of your heart. Now, I'm about to date myself. I'm literally older than Google, okay? And I'm all right with that. I ain't the only one in here. But here's the deal. I remember when they invented the internet. I do. And social media, too. Used to have this, what was it? MySpace. That was the first one, I think. I don't know. My girls were into that, and they would not friend me on that. I was like, all right, I see y'all. Y'all still living in my house. I see y'all. But I can honestly say that I have a love-hate relationship with the internet and social media. See, social media is great for staying in touch with people and keeping up with your friends, you know, that you don't get a chance to do that every day with, right? But we got to be very careful not to let it become a substitute for real relationships. And I say that because I know there are a lot of people who follow pastors on social media. And don't get me wrong, I think some of these pastors are amazing. I listen to some of them too. But just remember, that pastor you watch online, that's not your spiritual authority. Not according to what Hebrews 13:17 says. You see, your spiritual authority is your pastor. The person God ordained to watch over your soul, to teach you, to lead you, guide you, and to bring correction when needed. That internet preacher, they may preach really great, but they don't know you. You're not interacting with that church. There's no opportunity to get offended because you're not interacting with anybody there. Think about it. And that internet preacher certainly is not going to be there to give you biblical counseling, guidance, or to pray for you. But when you're part of the local church, God has placed that pastor there to do all of those things for you, to be your spiritual authority. And we all need that. We all need that. You know, Pastor Bob and I have seasoned, experienced pastors in our lives that we meet and talk with regularly. They know us. We know them. We've known some of them for a long time. So they saw us way back when. And you know what? In addition to God, we submit to them. We listen to them. They are our spiritual authorities. And we've given them permission to speak into our lives, to tell us where we might be missing something. We might have stank breath, need a Tic Tac. I'm just saying. Because, you know, sometimes you don't know you need a Tic Tac. And you need somebody in your life to tell you when you need a Tic Tac. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And these pastors have been given our authority and our permission to tell us. And not only that, to walk us through course correction when we get off. As I said, we all have a blind spot. And one of the most powerful examples of recognizing this is found in Psalm 139. This is a beautiful Psalm 139. Read the whole thing. It is so beautiful. Now, this is King David. Now, he was king and he had a lot of people criticizing him and coming for him. That's what happens when you're leading something. People going to talk. That's all right. And he had plenty of chances to get offended at people. And at any point, get this, at any point, because he was the king, he could have squashed any resistance to his authority. But David didn't do that. King David in Psalm 139 cries out to God and asks him to search his heart, to expose any offensive ways in him. You see, King David was more concerned with making sure his life aligned with God's will than he was in his own personal agenda. That's humility, y'all. And this is why David was considered a man after God's own heart. King David gave up his right to be right. He submitted his flesh, what he wanted, to God and asked God to expose sin or blind spots that he might be missing. This is a word for all of us. When things get hard, I want to encourage you, stay the course. And when you think you're right, consider you might be wrong. Deal with your issues. Be willing to deal with your issues. Don't sweep them under the rug. Everybody in here got issues. I got issues. If anybody in here has got issues, I got issues. Okay, so I know y'all got issues. Be willing to look at those. Is there a pattern here? Why do I keep doing this? And be willing to let God expose what you might be missing about yourself. I know this is hard. And this is why most people dip when things get hard. They're out. But here's the deal. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be different. We are called to be different. So we have to learn how to do relationships well. Show others respect even when we don't think they deserve it. Love people. Give them grace. And I think one of the really important things that we need to do is learn healthy boundaries. You know, Jesus says to love others, but he doesn't say be a doormat. So it's okay to not let someone else's stuff get into your heart. It's okay to arm's length some things. Not to avoid it, but to protect your peace. Just keep praying for them and loving them the way Jesus loves you. And it might be hard sometimes, but relationships matter, y'all. Proverbs 18:1 says, "He who separates himself indulges his desires and shows contempt for sound advice of any kind." Not letting others in, isolating yourself, the Bible says it leads to selfishness. Indulging in what you want, regardless of whether it's right or biblical. And even with your wrong, when you're wrong, you don't want to hear it. Friends, relationships refine us, and that's how God planned it. And if we're going to have relationships that are healthy, honest, and challenge us to become all that God created us to be, those relationships are going to require work, perseverance. And understanding this is important because perseverance is biblical and it's tied to blessing. See, perseverance is not always flashy and it certainly isn't easy sometimes. It doesn't always look like you got victory high on the mountain. No, sometimes it looks like just showing up again. Showing up again. Here I am. Let's do this. Sometimes it looks like showing up when you don't feel like it. And you know, I think of all people, moms understand this. How many moms here have stayed up all night long with a sick kid? Throwing up everywhere. You know, ran through all the bed sheets. I ain't got no more sheets to put on the bed because they done ran through all of them. So what do? Do you quit? Do you give up? Oh, would you sleep on the floor? I don't know what to do with you no more. We'll put them outside. No, you don't do that. You figure it out. Right? You figure it out. They might be sleeping on the couch cushions. They might be sleeping on something, towels. I don't know. I've had my kids sleeping on stuff when that's happened because we didn't have no more sheets. But the point is you figure it out. You don't quit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that when things get hard, we're to just walk away and complain. No, it don't. Y'all not paying attention. Romans chapter 5 says that when things get hard, we are to rejoice. Rejoice. That sounds so counterintuitive. Because guess what? The Bible sometimes is. It's counterintuitive. Because here's the thing. When we rejoice in our sufferings and we stay the course, that produces endurance. And then endurance produces proven character. And proven character produces hope. Proven character is what happens when you don't give up. You stay the course. You figure it out. You and Jesus, figure it out. But you're not going to let the devil sidetrack you from what God has given you to do. And proven character is so valuable, y'all, especially now. There's a blessing in perseverance, and part of that blessing is proven character. See, proven character speaks for you when others are speaking against you. Look at Jesus. He didn't defend himself. When they were hurling all those accusations at him, he didn't defend himself at all. His proven character spoke for him. And yeah, they still crucified him, but in the end, God's will was done. Perseverance develops proven character, and it brings blessings that you cannot even imagine. James 1:12 says that blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. This scripture is clear. It says the best way that we can show love to God is to obey him. And he wants us to persevere even when it's hard. Now, I'm not talking about staying in an abusive situation. God did not create us to be abused. God did not create us to be abused. So if you're in an abusive situation, I'm not talking about staying in that. But what I am talking about is not pulling the ripcord when you don't get your way. When you're offended or hurt. Y'all, everybody is going to have an opportunity to be offended and upset. That's a fact. If you've lived on this planet for any kind of time, even little kids, they could get upset with their little friends. It's just part of life. But see, here's the thing. The Christian life is about sacrifice. It doesn't matter where you go. That never changes. And sacrifice by nature is not comfortable, and it requires perseverance. And this is important for you to know, because perseverance is essential for a life of faith. In fact, you could say that perseverance is where faith actually becomes real. As Christians, we're not promised an easy road, but we are promised a purpose-filled one. You know, in the fall, I like to buy real pumpkins and put them on the porch sometimes to decorate, right? I just think that looks cool. And about, I don't know, maybe 18 months ago, I had some pumpkins for the fall. And when it was done, when the season was up, I threw them out in the front yard so the deer could eat them, right? And I don't know, like I said, about 18 months after that, this weird plant, I'd forgotten I did it, right? They ate it, whatever. And I forgot about it. Then over a year later, this weird plant started growing up right in the middle of my front yard. And I was like, what is this? And I thought, oh, let me just see how this goes. So I let it get a little crazy right in the middle of my front yard. I had this thing growing up. Matter of fact, there's another one growing up now, and Pastor Bob and I are debating, should we cut this down? But anyway, I let it roll, right? And then after a few weeks, these curly little vines started coming out of it. And this thing was just growing. It looked crazy in my front yard. And I was like, wait a minute, this is a pumpkin patch. And so I thought, all right, well, this is great. I'm going to go with this because it's going to grow a little pumpkin. And I can give that to my grandkids when it, you know, gets to be the season again, right? But y'all, weeks and weeks went by. I was fighting some kind of bug I didn't even know existed. Because every time I turn around, a little bloom would come out. This bug would eat it. And I was talking with my son-in-law. Hey, what do I do about this? He said, I don't know, get some bug stuff. So I put some bug stuff on there, wrestling with this plant, waiting for something to happen. All these leaves were growing, but I didn't see a pumpkin. And then finally, months later, it grew this little bitty pumpkin. You know what? Life is like that pumpkin plant, y'all. There will be times when you're doing your best and it seems like nothing's happening. There'll be moments when your prayers seem like they're not being even heard, much less answered. When your efforts seem to lead nowhere. And it's in those moments you're going to be tempted to quit, to believe that this don't even matter. Can I just encourage you? Persevere. Not because it's easy, but because it's worth it. It's worth it. When I got to give that little baby pumpkin to my little grandson, I was so happy. He was so excited for like 5 minutes. But it's worth it when we persevere. And you don't do it because you see the outcome. You do it because you trust the one who does. Perseverance shapes us, y'all. And it builds character in ways that comfort never can. It teaches us patience and how to do the hard things well. It strengthens our faith, and perseverance deepens our reliance on God. When you endure, you're not just surviving, you're being refined. Remember, gold is refined in the fire. It's not destroyed, it's refined. Stephen, if you'll come. Proverbs 17:3 tells us, the crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. This scripture is telling us that God will purify us by allowing trials, pressures, hard things to test us. The trials we endure, y'all, they're not meant to break us. They're meant to strengthen us. So what does perseverance look like in our daily lives? Well, you know what? The first thing it looks like is loving people when it's hard. The Bible says in Luke 6:32 that loving those who love you, that's easy. Even sinners do that. But if you really want to get God's attention, love the unlovable. Love those who do you wrong when you do nothing but right by them. That's a hard one. I had to learn this one. Jesus worked on me on this one for years. Recently. Okay? Recently. Perseverance looks like doing the right thing when no one's watching. It looks like continuing to pray when you don't see anything changing. And it looks like keeping your commitments. Ouch. That's a hard one. Keeping your commitments. That's perseverance. Staying faithful in the small things, even if they never lead to greater things in this life. Because you know what? You got to understand and settle it in your heart now. Some of those sacrifices you're making right now, you're not going to see the reward this side of heaven, but you will see the reward. And when you see that reward, it's going to be in heaven, and it'll be way better than it ever could have been on earth. Perseverance can affect generations, y'all. When you stayed the course and you didn't give in, you didn't quit, you got rid of some of that spiritual baggage, you broke generational curses for your children, then your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to have to fool with any of that. It is worth it. Perseverance is never about not struggling. It's about refusing to give in the struggle. And it's not optional, y'all. In fact, perseverance is part of God's calling on your life. And this is why we don't do it alone. God walks with us every single step. He's in every doubt. He's in every weary moment. And when your strength fails, you got to let God's strength carry you. He will. He will. You know, Mom, I know some of y'all are tired. I know what it's like to be the mom of a bunch of littles. You're tired. It's easy to get frustrated. Maybe even think that, I don't even know what I'm doing. What am I going to do? How do I do this? What do I do? That's the real heart cry of a mom. I know this. Stay in the fight. Mom, stay in the fight. Don't give up. It's worth it. It's worth it. When you think you don't have enough, God has everything you need. When you don't think you can do it again, God can do it through you. He is with you. Mom, He's with you. Can you hear me? He's with you. There is never a night so dark that the light of God can't shine through. Remember that, Mom. Remember that. All y'all remember that. There is never a night so dark the light of God can't shine through. Even if you feel like giving up, hold on just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Because when you persevere against all odds, you are becoming who God is shaping you to be. I want to encourage everybody here. Let's be people who don't quit. Let's be people who remain faithful. Let's be people who persevere, not just in some things, but in everything. And in time, will see, you will see that every step, every effort, every moment of your endurance was not in vain. Lives will be changed because you chose to persevere. Families restored, addictions broken, and this body of believers here at Pursuit Church, we will hear those beautiful words one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," if we persevere. Amen? Will you bow your heads? Lord, I thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. You're always with us. You bring healing. You bring hope. You are the God of hope. Lord, I ask you to just be the lifter of our heads. Your word says that you are the lifter of our heads. So lift up our heads when we feel discouraged, Father. Lift up our hearts towards you. Lord, give us the courage and the strength we need to be willing to submit everything to you, Lord, and to ask you to check us, to check our hearts. Why are we doing this? Is there something we're missing? Lord, you're such a great light shiner. You are the light. So shine your light on those places in our hearts and our minds where there's pain, where there's discouragement, even where there's a little bit of discomfort, Father. And show us what we may be missing, Father, and we surrender that to you. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your strength and for renewing in us and giving us a steadfast heart, a heart purposed to follow you, Lord. And Father, I ask you for an extra measure of grace and strength for every single parent and grandparent and auntie and uncle in this room right now that are involved in the lives of those children. Lord, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and give them hands to bring love and hope to these children. Lord, I thank you for the stepmoms. I thank you for the spiritual moms. I thank you for our moms, Lord. Those who have even gone on to glory with you, Lord, we thank you for the time you gave us with our mothers. Lord, I speak peace and hope over your people today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.